Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Imam Nazim Pasha, and you're listening to El Islam-based conversations. We're going to start with our promise, commitment, actually our attitude about this and the deep regard we have for the opportunity of being able to share with you information that will hopefully be thought-provoking. That means that we're not trying to teach you how, we are trying to teach you how to think, but we're not telling you what to think. And the truth, you know, as scripture says, will do what it needs to do, you know. If you accept it, if you welcome it into your life, and if you let it be the light that guides you, then you can't go wrong. The rest of the world could be going wrong. They could be on the wrong side of the street, the wrong side of their behavior, the wrong side to be getting the blessing that comes from the Creator and from the creation if we're not aware, you know. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about, how we raise our awareness, how we increase our faith, how we can have a surety that there is a Creator, there is a life after death. And it won't be just conversations. It will be the way we live, the way we think, the way we conduct our affairs, and on and on and on. So anyway, back to our promise. We promise we will not waste your time or we will not insult your intelligence. And those together are combinations of how, like I said, the sacred regard we treat this opportunity, and also with the regard for what we say and how we say it, and whether we come across sounding like we know everything. We don't. We, and meaning me, meaning you, meaning our fellow human beings, and et cetera, we know what we know, but there's so much to know that becomes the challenge. And some things that we use this year may not be able to work as good next year because it's a new world. It's a new situation. It's a new, the time is moving on. It's not by our time, but by the Creator's time. And when that happens, you see the difference in this thing that we call life. It's not something that we just wake up and we breathe and we are alive, but have we really got in touch with reality to where life is influencing our life? Now you have a life. You know, it used to be that saying, people were doing this and they were doing that and they were saying this and they were saying that, and they would say, oh man, get a life. You got too much time on your hands to be running my life and your life too. And that's true. Once you really get in touch with your life and line it up against what life requires and demands and asks of us, invites us to partake of and to get dressed with it, you know, fully dressed. And that means that the things in life that come up that we can't quite put our thumb on, we can't quite understand it like we would like. So we go through life guessing or hoping that we're right. Well, we don't have to do that anymore. You know, once you get the truth, the light of truth, will shed light on that dark area, on that gray area, on that concern area, on that confusing area. And that's what a lot of people are experiencing nowadays. They're not sure. They're a little bit afraid. They're a little intimidated. Because it's a big job to get your affairs together, get your life together, and move on it with the life, with the insurety that what I'm doing today has a lot to do with what I'm going to have in my life tomorrow. And I can project my future today and make it very predictable by doing what they call possibility thinking. And some people, they say it differently. They add a couple other words to it to let you know that it's not just something that you can wake up and do. It's more like ability. You know, and they say you can conceptualize, personalize, and then you actualize. That's just three more words saying it. Same thing I'm saying, but they're using more words that this power that we have to own our life, to define our life, and to learn what it takes to be at our best in our life. And it starts out with good. People start out being good and trying to be good and do good. And that's good. But sometimes good is not good enough. And to show you that that's true, a whole book was written on that particular subject. And when you begin to look around, you begin to see what the person was saying when they wrote the book. And you see that it's true. Not just some of the time, a great deal, a frequent amount of the time, good is not good enough. And so how can we look at that? Well, we look at it from the point of philosophy, or we look at it from the point of scripture, and they both say the same thing, just a different way of saying it. Complexities in life. It forces us to not just play the guessing game. Like I don't mean no harm. I guess I'm right. No, we have to know these things. We have to apply the knowledge that we have in different circumstances. And see if it holds up. That's one of the things philosophically they say to us, that nothing has more power than an idea whose time has come. Now think about that. The power that comes when you've embraced an idea, and that idea is right on time. It's like just what the doctor ordered. He wasn't quite sure which move to make, which way to go, what to do. And then along comes this idea. For me, I was dissatisfied with so much in the world, what was going on and the way things were happening, the way I was being treated, the way racism and sexism and all this was dominating the environment. And one's environment is very important. You eat, sleep, and drink our environment. You taste, touch, and smell our environment. And eventually it forms us to the way we are, good, bad, or indifferent. And if we don't stop and check and see that we're on the right path that we want to be on and we're doing the right things behavioral-wise that we want to do, we could be led astray. We could be in the wrong crowd. We could be having a bad attitude about this thing called life. It could be expecting stuff. It could be thinking it's all about us. There's a lot of problems that we could be having, a lot of things that we could be going wrong about or doing incorrectly because we just don't know. And we've been doing it so long, and we're creatures of habit, we do it so long that it becomes this habit that we don't look at. We think that's the way I am, or that's the way I talk, or that's the way I think, and people have to get used to that. No, we have to look at ourselves to see if we are really still in touch with reality, and our life is conforming to the human approach to life, that we haven't slipped down below that level, and we have human form, but animal behavior. And that's a little harsh for some people. They don't want to hear that, or they don't want to believe that, or they don't want to hear people talking to them. They think that's being too critical, too judgmental, to be whatever. It's an invitation to make an examination, a much-needed examination, because life is like that. We get off the track. We get at the mercy of what's being said and what's being preached and what's being promoted. And we take it for granted that if they're allowing us to say those things and they're allowing us to do those things, it must be right. But pull back, make an examination with the benefit of scripture and philosophy and logic and everything, and see there's a possibility very strong that we've been led astray because it pays somebody, it's in their best interest to have us astray and at the mercy of circumstances and not thinking about consequences. For everything we do or don't do, consequences. And if you live long enough and had your eyes open to this reality, you will bear witness that there are consequences. But the good news about the consequences is that they are fair and just. You know, it's just we reap what we sow. So sow good that you may reap well. That's the instructions. If one will take a little hint to the wise is sufficient. One will allow themselves to say, you know what? That's a pretty good maxim. I'm going to apply that to the areas in my life that need to have that applied. They need to hear that. That's that permission slip that I'm looking for to do certain things. And that's a good one. It means you've examined it enough to where you're able to conform to it, and your performance as a result of it is above and beyond because the calling is so clear. And we can, you know, add a few more with it, something that helps us have that reality as we move forward. But that alone is inspiration, or it should be. And if we really take it to heart and examine it with the heart and the soul, we'll see that it is. It's noteworthy. It's worthy of our consideration and a little bit of our time to invest in that and see what the outcome is like. And I know those of you out there that have already done it, you're ahead of the game. See, the more we can take a look in the mirror and be responsible and accountable based on what we know to be true. And it's not true because I say it's true. It's not true because you say it's true. It's true because it's true. True holds its own in the field or in the ring of competition. It's not something that you're going to do and you're going to regret it later. Okay? You're right there with the major thinkers and whatnot. You're applying it properly. Competence comes confidence. And this is not, you know, just someone making rhymes and what. That's a fact. It's the truth. It serves us well when we understand it. And we don't come across sounding like a know-it-all. We come across sounding like, I know what I know. I've given it the litmus test. It's passed the test, it's passed the time test, and it's passed the results test. I'm getting results that other people want to get, but they're not getting it because they're not doing what I'm doing. And I'm almost obligated. You could almost say we're obligated that if you know, you should share what you know with others. Now, the solicitation part comes in a little bit on that. Sometimes when we haven't been asked and we say something prematurely, it doesn't get that warm reception that we're looking for because no one asked us about this, that, and the other. And so when you make it your business to share this, that, and the other without having been asked to share or asked a question about how it's benefited you, then it might be a problem, a big problem. Because what it means is that you rush to judgment and you were premature in what you had to say because, like I said before, no one wants to know that you know. And that's a big, big problem. I've experienced it over and over again where I'm there trying to be helpful, trying to share what I think people will benefit from and grow from and get the results that they say they want from. And maybe not by their verbalization of it, but by their spirit and their attitude and the way they look at me lets me know that they weren't happy to know what I know. Happy to know that I know. Because there's a certain amount of exposure now that you're going to get. And if I'm got a little ego problem, or a little esteem problem, if I got both of those problems, I'm in real trouble. And when someone introduces something to me that I want to believe that I already know, or I don't want to know that you know that, and I don't know it, I've invested in my life in a certain way where I think I know this, that, and the other. And you are challenging that fact that I don't know this, that, and the other. But if I do know this, that, and the other, I got it backwards. I got asked this question. Now, if you meant to say this, you didn't. If you meant to say that, you did. Now, were you trying to say this or were you trying to say that? And my honesty, which is it's a powerful tool, it wouldn't let me lie. I said, I was trying to say that. And they said, well, you didn't. Now, what happens when people don't want to hear what you have to say? Then they say, you're not, you're being this and you're being that, you're being judgmental, you sound like you know everything. They're going to be critical of what you're saying. But not because it needs criticism, but because they don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to accept it. They don't want to see the message being brought by this certain messenger, so they reject the message. But what they're really rejecting is the messenger. And that's very important, that the world has been moving and I forget his name, the artist, One Nation Under a Groove. He made a record. And it was big hit because it was so factual. As this country progressed and moved into certain ages, you know, and one of them that they talked about was the age of Aquarius, very mythical and very, you know, intoxicating, you know, and people got intoxicated, or whatever means that they thought would intoxicate them, liquid and marijuana and whatever, you know, the crystals, whatever was out there. It was supposed to make this world, a better place, and everybody would be just full of love and happiness and singing kumbaya to each other. We would get along and everything would be so wonderful. Big problem was artificial happiness, artificial highs versus natural highs. Natural high, no side effects. Artificial high, side effects. Serious side effects that your body is telling you, rejecting that substance that you put in him, her, us, them, or you, and now they experience something, but they also are experiencing the side effects because the body is trying to say, that's not natural, that's artificial. I can't digest and process that like I do something that's natural and intended versus something that's glamorized and not intended. But I go against nature. I go against my better senses. I'm searching for something because everybody else is doing it and they told me how good it was and I won't know it until I do it. And then I can talk like they talk and think like they think and be happy like they're happy. But if you get introduced to something and the results are not like they predicted, it should tell you naturally I'm doing something that is causing my body to reject it. And it's causing me to have a headache later or a little bit back to those what we talked about earlier, having to live with my consequences. I did that. I said that. And you see that you embarrass if you have innocence and you don't want to see and you have a relationship with dignity that says you don't want to get a reputation for that. You don't want to have a reputation for that. You don't want to be seen in that light in the public. And today, it's just ridiculous. People will go out in the public and you vividly see private parts, you know, and stuff, people's underwear. It's underwear. It's not supposed to be in the public for people to see. No one wants to see your underwear, but people swagging and dragging and belt loose or no belt at all and posterior out and bent over and doing things that's too much to see. Nobody wants to see that. But now today, nobody cares that you don't want to see. I won't say nobody cares. Too many people don't care. So they don't have a dignified dress code. They come out the house, get in the public, and they put on display things that wouldn't be put on display. You had a guard for anything that comes close to you seeing or looking, appearing to be naked or wanting to be naked. And then it changed. And people now get creed, street creed, recognition for how low can you go? How bold can you be? You know, and then there's a competition. I showed this. I was in this, and I went to this in the after party. I went to this, and they got this, you know, this thing called TikTok. And whatever you want to do, supposedly keeping the guidelines of TikTok, then you can do it. But you can be highly, highly suggestive. You can hear R. Kelly's "Ain't Nothing Wrong with a Little Bump and Grind." It shouldn't get measured like that, right or wrong. If you're dancing, nothing wrong with you dancing. But if you're dancing in a suggestive way, if you're dancing, coming on and introducing into your dance a level of, it's vulgar. You're putting out something, you're sending a message that says something about your sexuality that I'm turned on now, I'm feeling like getting down and dirty, how low will I go? You know, we had the little game there you play, you know, limbo. And the question was asked, how low will you go? But what was suggested in that particular question? A dare, a boldness, what they were talking about subliminally was how low will you go with your behavior. Thus the record came out behind that. Can't get enough of that funky stuff. So what am I suggesting? I'm suggesting that people are using language to define things and encourage certain kind of behavior. And if we're not clued to it, we're not hip to it, if we're not aware of it, you'll be talking, but you'll be under the influence of someone else, so they're using you to be their puppet. The song again, I'm your puppet. But this other puppet was a love song. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, puppet is a puppet. Somebody's behind the scene, and they're the puppeteer, and you're the puppet. Supposedly, in the song, the man was a willing puppet. But in order to be a willing puppet, you got to give up some of your dignity, some of your freedom, some of your thought process, some of the things that may be sacredly, should be sacredly regarded. And we can't fall victim to believing some things. My guru said it's okay. My mentor, my whatever said it's all right. He's got thousands of people following him, so it must be right. All those people can't be wrong. Well, guess what? All those people can be wrong. And it shouldn't have to take you to join them and find out the hard way that that's what the case is. I go back and I remember the fine words of Muhammad Ali. He said, don't count, do what counts. Now think about that. Because that's what people are doing. They're putting a number behind all these things. I got these many followers. I got 22,000 followers. I got $150,000 from these 22,000 or whatever, whatever. I got content to interest 25,000 people. Out of that content, it's produced a community, a following that someone will pay me because what? That form of advertisement is guaranteed results because they are loyal. See, when you got a loyal customer, when you have a loyal consumer, that means it ain't income no more. It's income, steady income. Because everybody knows somebody, and everybody, and some people know a lot of bodies. And so when you told that one person, all their little following, and then you got exponential growth. Not linear anymore. Not 1, 2, 3, 4 explosion. But guess what? It comes back again and becomes a secondary explosion. When you become the Pied Piper to bring people to you, and through you, because we talked about the puppet scenario, people are using you to get other people to do things that they wouldn't normally do, maybe. They wouldn't do, but they can do, feel a little safer because there's so many people doing it. They do what? They throw that judgment, their good judgment, out the window. And they move on this urge, on this appetite that gets pulled in because of the diet that the appetite's on. We talked about earlier, or we mentioned earlier, we didn't talk about it, but we should. We should mention how important one's environment is. Who are your friends? Who are you listening to? Who are you letting into your ears? Letting into your mind via your ears? Who's convincing you and converting you and cajoling you to do things that you wouldn't normally do? Oh, come on. Or use security cat. Live this life. Live it to its fullest. They make the invitation. If you got to step outside your comfort zone that way and dibble and dabble in things that have consequences that are not favorable, that are not dignified, that are not legal, that are not logical, maybe you want to have second thoughts about that. And you want to wonder, does this person have my best interest at heart? Or am I just prey because I'm naive? I don't have the ability to take an examination of what I heard and look it over through the lens that you get when you are like that, when you are circumspect, when you do have truth in your life, when you have some kind of background and balance that says, I just don't jump up and do anything because I get an urge or because someone's provoking me or there's a lot of people doing it. That's not a good criterion. Numbers. Now, when we're dealing with math, numbers don't lie. When you're dealing with math in that context, numbers can lie. People can yeast it up, boost it up, over-exaggerate it, popularize it in a way that is not true. Promise and can't deliver stuff that they promise. Satisfaction guarantee or your money back. And they really mean that. I think I've got something good. I think it's not just something that I'm trying to get rich at. I really believe it's going to help them be beneficial to people. I have associates and people that I do get supplements from that are like that. They want to make life better for people, and they know health is a part of your wealth. Be somewhere, go somewhere, get a certain age, and don't have your health. Watch what happens to your spirit. Watch what happens to the joy in your life. It shouldn't kill your life. It's over. No, you still got life. Look at the people who went on with the whatever. Any kind of physical discrepancy, difficulty, I think I like that better. It doesn't stop life. It simply changes. You have to act like you are what you are. You have to act like maybe you're recovering, or maybe you're not going ever going to recover, or maybe you're going to use a cane, or you're going to do this, or you're going to do that. Automatically, when one thing shuts down or not working or not functioning, the other things step up to help out. We've seen it over and over again, the beauty of the human being, to do that kind of miraculous stuff, but also to fall in the victim to what we just mentioned about being duped, being hoodwinked into believing something is true and it's not. Believing something should be done that quickly, and it can't. Things usually don't happen overnight. They happen over time. So what do you have to have for that to happen? Patience. I mean, it was want what we want when we want it, and we don't get what we want when we don't get what we want when we want it. You know, we're going to give them a piece of our mind. We got something to say about that. Because a lot of people today, and if you're looking around and observing things, you'll see what I'm saying is true. A lot of people today believe this whole thing is revolving around them. They drive that way. They go wherever they're going, to the bank or whatever, with that type of attitude. They don't have patience to sit here and wait for this and that and the other. And if you're in the front of them or behind them or, you know, whatever, you see this attitude that they want you to either conform to what they're doing or get out the way. Lead, follow, or get out the way. I used to have that attitude. I didn't have patience with people who I thought were taking too long with whatever, that I wanted to go faster. And you can see it today with this technological world. It goes faster. It does this. You don't have to wait. You don't have to, hey, what's wrong with waiting? What's wrong with having to wait? Why is it a big deal if you have to wait long and you want to wait? Isn't that the process we grow with? The human being, 9 months in the womb. 21 years to get 21. Think about that. It takes us 21 years to get to 21. I'm an adult now. I can do this and I can do that. Woo-woo. How long did it take you? 21 years. What are they hoping for? That you have matured and grown and seasoned person and you are able to be reasonable and able to reason when it comes to things in your life, when it comes to what you have to deal with that comes through your life or comes to into your life as a good thing. Graduation, job opportunity, collaborating with somebody, on and on and on and on. A degree you went to 4 or 5 more years of schooling to get. Now you're qualified to not just be this, but you're that. And a lot of people don't know the difference. Because my wife has some mental she has some physical challenges, and she had to go and get some eyes looked at and different things, and I looked at the guy, and he told me and her that he wasn't an optometrist. He's an ophthalmologist. And these big words can be intimidating, or all you do is get impressed. Oh, wow, he's an ophthalmologist. Barely can't say it. No, I can't spell it. But that's the reason that it's telling you right there. You need to take a little time and invest into what definition, what is ophthalmologist, and how are they different from an optometrist? And that goes with whatever you encounter in life. Don't be in the dark and act like you know something that you don't know. Educate yourself. We need to educate ourselves to know what we know and know what others know who are running circles around us because we don't know. And they're not happy to inform us. They're happy to know that we don't know. And once again, with that word I mentioned before, you can get preyed upon financially. You can get advice that will have you in a situation where you just You'll say, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. No, you didn't do your homework. You didn't vet the person or the situation that you were getting into, and now you are a victim of circumstances that we talked about before. And there's what? Consequences. There's always consequences. And there's only two avenues that we can take. And this is by decree of the Creator. He's going to show us what we need to know and what we should do, and he's going to show us what we need to know and what we shouldn't do. Not if the numbers get high enough, not like they do. They legalize anything if you get enough money involved. Do you know, or would you care to know, or would you mind if I tell you that the number one illegal thing used to be prostitution? I mean, it used to be, I think, drugs and gambling. But now it's sex trafficking. And the number one client, at least the last time I looked, was the United States. Me in between X amount of ages in there, and most of them are Caucasian. But you know how it goes. Once it gets popular and affordable, we jump on in the crowd. Nothing like converting us. Now that's what? The price is right. So you're only doing this because you can and it's popular and you get some creed from it and people are going to be saying, oh, you do that, you done did that, woo, woo, woo. And it's like you're going to put it on your resume? Here is what our religion offers as a responsibility, as an antidote to that kind of thinking and behavior. And it goes like this. If you are doing something, or if you are thinking about doing something, and after you go out on your patio or go out on the front of your house, and you, as loud as you can, you tell the people what you're doing or what you're thinking about doing, and if they don't applaud you and salute you and comfort you and support you, it's probably not good or some kind of sin. Now, you ain't got to go out there doing that. All you got to do is have thinking that you do that before you do think about it or you do something or someone invites you to do something. How proud am I going to be, and would I be proud enough to go and tell the world, I'm finna go, I was thinking about, can you do that? Can you check what you're getting ready to do, which would check your behavior before you do it? And now you can't look dumb, duh. I didn't, what he said, what I thought was, yeah. Don't want to get caught in situations like that. You're pleading your case, and you're claiming ignorance, innocence. But where they got you at, got into that, I'll try anything once, 314 coming in. I try anything once. I'm a free spirit. Okay? You're just about getting ready to experience something with this spirit that even your spirit's not going to like. Because you put it and the rest of you in harm's way. All for a little, what is it called? Joyride, yeah, for the vehicle, but when bungee jumping, when you get adrenaline rush, all for a little adrenaline rush. And when you get through it, how much does it matter? How beneficial can you say it was? How valuable was it to learn to do that? How much did that little adrenaline rush do for you in terms of now you know this or now you can do it? It's designed to do what it does, to give you this rush, to get you addicted, to supposedly give you confidence, and to get you out of your comfort zone. Not a good idea at all. Okay, coming to 314. I'm going to state your name, where you're calling from, and whether you have a question or comment.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to you, Imam Nazim Pasha, and to your radio listening audience. Mark Shahi from STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah The praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost always. You know, as I listen in to our Islam-based conversation, you know, it really touches me pretty deeply, also intellectually, but also spiritually also, you know. And so I listen to you in terms of thinking or really not thinking, and we all have the ability to think, even if we don't know how to think and actually what it is that we should be thinking about. You know, I remember many years ago, in terms of Imam W.D. Muhammad, he said something so very profound, and which we don't hear too much of it today, but he said, select the things that go into your mind. Select the things that go into your mind. This infers to me a consciousness that you have, to be consciously aware that there are so many messages that's in the environment in which we live. And if we're not consciously aware of these messages, then they can easily enter into the various doors that the mind have, including the subconscious mind, and actually, before you know it, that message have entered into our mind, and we're actually acting or reacting on what has come into our mind that we wasn't even conscious that it actually had infiltrated into our mind. And this is a dangerous thing because many of our young people, if they haven't said it to us as they grow up, oftentimes they think it, I have a mind of my own. But actually, the minds of people have been made up in terms of what has come into their mind. So it's just like going shopping. You don't just pick up the first thing in the produce aisle that you see. If you're shopping for vegetables, you observe it, you pick it up, you may feel it, you look at it. I've even seen people even smell certain fruits or vegetables or what. But you're utilizing the common senses that the Creator has given to us. And I think this is very, very important. One other thing I wanted to make a comment on in terms of the demand, you know, for things and those who actually create the desire. There is a mindset that creates a desire. And oftentimes the desire that they create is in the Quran, as God has said, that the shaitan, the Satan, creates the false desire in people to want this, to want that. And this brings about the demand. And those of us that actually have had just basic economics, supply is based on demand. So when you can create the false desire, now it's a demand for these things where ordinarily it wouldn't be a demand. But because that false desire has been created in us, now there's a demand for it. And then the one that has created that false desire, they come with the supply. So this is very, very important for us to know that these abstract things that the Creator has put into us in terms of our urges, our impulses, our passion, our desire, at this blessed time that we are in now in terms of the month of Ramadan, while we're fasting, but we should be feasting on the Quran, those words should be coming into our being. And actually, they should be providing the information, the best for the best formation of our life at this time. I could say a lot more, but I think I said enough here and give my nickel's worth in terms of this Palestine-based conversation. Thank you so much. I appreciate it greatly. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, like my son, one other request, Brother Mark. I'm still not where I need to be on talking about the programs that are on this wonderful station and whatnot. And would you share a little bit of that and a little bit of the hours that have been changed a little bit because of Ramadan?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'd be glad to. So, we start with Monday, and so you're hearing it live here with our very distinguished, esteemed host, Imam Nazim Pasha on ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation. It airs each and every Monday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, and 3 p.m. Pacific Coast time. It's each and every Monday evening. And Tuesday, we have our very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, and his recurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab. That happens each and every Tuesday, and it is on the Ramadan schedule, as you said. And so it airs during the month of Ramadan only at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast time. That's only during the month of Ramadan, and then after it'll return to its regular time schedule, but it'll be on the same day, which is each and every Tuesday. On Wednesday, it is the very distinguished esteemed Dr. Patricia Slow Dean, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as we host the Parenting and the Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach about correct parenting and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. And during the month of Ramadan, we are actually seeing the positive effect that Ramadan can have on reconstructing the family life. And it is on the Ramadan schedule, too. It starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, only during the month of Ramadan. Thursday is the Sister Learning Lab, which very distinguished, esteemed host of that, Quran Shakir, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed, and it's on the Ramadan schedule also, and we're looking at the positive effect that Ramadan can actually have on the sacred institution of marriage and also those who in the process of courtship. And it begins at 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And then Friday, of course, is Salatu Jumu'ah Day Muslim Worldwide. For those immobilized, can't get out and about, they can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. And Salatu Jumu'ah begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. And Saturday, only in the month of Ramadan, I moved the MGM Roundtable, that's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable, to Saturday during the month of Ramadan. It happens at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. And my theme for the fifth year in a row is fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. Some outstanding intellects in the community, Imam W.D. Muhammad, have joined me and will be joining me throughout this blessed month of Ramadan. So we do ask that you tune in for that. The longest running production on IWDM Radio, once again with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir, on Words Make People. Yes, Words Make People. It's a production that happens each and every Sunday afternoon here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 1 p.m. Eastern, it's high noon Central, and it's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. So we ask that you please tune in for all of these outstanding productions on IWDM Radio. And don't come by yourself. You know, you love for your brother and sister what you love for yourself. If you're enjoying ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation, let's have a conversation. And the more the merrier in the conversation. Mm-hmm. Bring a family member, bring a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, or a community member back with you. And please don't forget the Muslim Journal, as we do support and endorse the Muslim Journal. Keep your subscription, which is a prescription for us, and those who have the wherewithal, maybe you can look at giving that as an e-gift at the end of this blessed month of Ramadan. Everything is amplified and multiplied in this blessed month. So with that, turn it back to you, Imam Nazim Pasha.
Thank you very much, Brother Mark. I appreciate that. I want to get on my case and get myself situated here come in the next couple of weeks, and I'll have my right before me, I can read that list off. Especially, I guess, really, probably after Ramadan, I'll step up my game and do that. Oh, by the way, I was able to remember the individual that I was talking about, that infamous or famous writing called, supposedly written by Willie Lynch.
Willie Lynch.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
I knew
come
it would
right.
come to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, alhamdulillah. So we'll get on with this last 7 minutes, and then we'll call it a day, and we appreciate your presence and your help and assistance in that area.
No problem.
You're a gentleman and a scholar.
As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaykum as-salam. I've been really enjoying this conversation, and I hope you have too. But, you know, there's nothing, the clock on the wall says it's almost time for me to go, but I wanted to introduce something that Imam Muhammad said. And I know for those of us who in this community or even not in this community, we hear other people say this all the time, Imam Muhammad said. Well, following leadership is something that is beneficial, and if you recognize that, then that's what you do. I mean, he qualified as a leader because he brought the thing that qualified him as a leader. He brought the Holy Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is enough. It's not enough because I say it's enough. It's enough because the Lord and Creator of the heavens and the earth say that's enough. The ideal model man to bring the message to the people and bring it from a book that is the blessing for humanity. You know, it came to humanity. It came to a certain geography. It came to a certain people. But the text was for all human beings who believe in God, believe in the hereafter, want to serve that God, and want to get the reward from that God that comes when you do serve him instead of be serving another cause. Because our nature is to serve. And the people who manipulate us, they know that about our nature, and they have no problem putting you in a slave situation, and the only thing they remind you, we paid you well. We gave you what you wanted. You got that nice car. You driving that nice car. You living in that nice house. You can feed and clothe your children. But the same thing that they're delivering, or supposedly delivering, in this world of man who copies the world of the Creator. We talked about that. You're in an environment. Look around you and see if not everything that man says he can do and do better and do he's great and he's going to take a little bit of your time and your money to get the reward of this, and it's the greatest thing since salt, pepper, whatever. It's something in the creation. He's gotten and attained and gotten credentials and put his shingle outside of the door, or outside of her door, and now he says, I do this so well, I could do it for free, but since I do it so well, somebody's going to pay me. Are we mad? No, we're not mad. To a certain degree, as Brother Mark was saying, that's what happens. But when greed sits in, and you want to make it for a dollar and then charge $25 because, as Brother Mark didn't use these words, but this is the word that I'm going to use for it, you have become a consumer. And supply and demand rules, because that's the formula. And it's that way. See? But when you're demanding more for your product than is right or principle driven, then that's where the problem comes. Or if you're giving me a product that's good to me, but it's not good for me. Too greasy, too cheesy, too syrupy. You know, we got a problem. And you purposely put those things in there to get my palate, you know, excited, get my taste buds all reared up and everything. And I feel like I could eat one, two, three, maybe, you know, whatever. Because I just love woo-woo-woo. And eventually my body says, hey, it's good to you, but not good for you. Too much sweet for me to handle. Too much grease for me to handle. Too much of what in ever that cheese is for me to handle. See? So when you feel a little burp like the baby, or a little belch like whatever, or a little gas or disturbance in your body that's causing that, digestion or indigestion, you know, all that problems that you're having, your body's simply trying to tell us, or the body tries to tell you, you've consumed beyond what you should. One-third food, one-third water, one-third air. Simple formula, you know. And once we apply it, we begin to see. It lets you control the portions and not the portion control you. Because what? You pay later. Consequences, once again. Circumstances that put you right in front of consequences. We've gotten to where we can live with it. It doesn't bother us at all. And we don't bother to try to limit and decrease our portions. And look at the clock on the wall so that you can see maybe it's not a good idea to do that after all. You know? Maybe it's not healthy. Maybe it's not sensible or whatever. Even though it's popular, it's not sensible or healthy. And we have to, we're sense-driven beings, even though we're human beings at the end of the day. But five senses are most centrally located, but they are definitely there to dictate and govern what we do and what we don't do when it comes to all things, really. But one of the things that gets exploited is that appetite. Then you know you're not doing it because you do it. You're doing it because the advertisement was such that it made it glamorized to where you want to do it. And you don't worry about the consequences until later. And then when it do happen, you do A, B, C, and D to remedy it. And you know you're doing it. You just got something that you know that they tell you, a little Pepto and a little this and a little that, and you'll be all right. And you will, until it breaks down something in the body, and then it's not all right. So I'm saying to you, as I conclude here, why get to that point? Why go that far with it? Why let that happen to something that is so valuable we can't even put a price tag on it, and that's our health? And they're telling the people today, if you were listening, there's one health that is physically, and there's another health that's mentally. And right now, people are suffering mental health problems and challenges way above and beyond what they used to. And we can see it with all of the crime and the shootings and stuff that goes on in the world. We saw the latest shooting that I followed, probably might have been one tonight, maybe one whatever. First female supposedly shooting because of the transgender situation. I don't know whether there was a female and then it came a female and now it came in. I don't know. But they said it was transgender, but they said it was the first female that had shot and killed and then got herself killed so she wouldn't have to suffer any consequences that we just talked about. You do wrong and you commit suicide, so you got a double wrong. You did wrong and then you kill yourself, but we have no right to kill ourselves like that. That's a sinful act and a cowardly act. But that's another subject at another time. But we want to conclude with that, and hopefully we can recognize that we're living in challenging times. It's just like the weather. The weather is a very big indicator. It's not predictable. And that's the way it is nowadays. Life is very unpredictable, and what people are doing are unpredictable. You know, when you put yourself in harm's way sometime, when you're just out in the public and you got somebody who's not regardful of that, and they're doing things and they're thinking things and they're using things and they're hurting other people, innocent people, and they're trying to remedy a problem that's a human problem, and you can't solve that problem by killing or attacking or scaring or repaying or doing whatever. That's not the approach. Human problems have human solutions. And one of the solutions that we can do, if we would just become human again, naturally, our behavior was considerate of our fellow human. Big old spacious earth, plenty for all. We can get along, and we can get access to what we need to live an affordable lifestyle and benefit from all the greatness that's not in our country, but it's in another country. You may get a chance to go there, or you may get a chance to get something from there, and you see this big, beautiful bouquet of humanity that you and I get to be a part of. And all of the blessings that come with that, to bring fullness and joy and happiness into our world, is just waiting on us once we get big enough to get past those barriers that we want to have it all for ourselves, or we want to claim it all for ourselves, or we want to deny others from getting it, when it was put here for all of us to enjoy. It was put here in a way we all can enjoy it. No need to claim it. No need to be dominant about it, even though it says suggest that in the Bible. It's saying make plenty so you can share. See? Be willing to give, and give bountifully, and give abundantly, and give to those less fortunate than yourself, and watch how it works. Okay, so I've got to go. Time on the wall says time for me to go. So we'll see you this time next year, next week. And we greet you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. We extend to you the greeting of Ramadan Mubarak, and a heartfelt thing for those of you who are online or participated. And we look forward to seeing you again here, same place, same time. Assalamu alaikum again, and may God be with you, protect you, keep you safe in these challenging times that we're living in. And we pray for the sick, the traveling, etc. also.